Thank God it didn't. Things weren't the way I thought they were. But anyhow, Karen was sharing with me that her sister-in-law, who lives northwest Ohio, was sharing a story of a farmer up there. And apparently, we're assuming he goes to their church. If they know him, that's usually they're pretty close-knit. That's how close-knit that church is, really. I mean, I'm not kidding. They are that close-knit. But anyhow, they said the mother was coming out to the field to pick up the dad who was out disking, I think is what he was doing. He was disking. And he got done quicker than he thought he was going to, so he told her, he said, I'm just going to bring everything back home, just going home. And the little boy, the four-year-old, wanted to stay. And so, you know, they're in the cab tractor, they're heading down the road, and you know, the little boy's sitting there next to his daddy, and he's driving down the road, and you know, he looked up, and a lot of tractors now have mirrors so they can see what's behind them. He looked up, and he saw an 18-wheeler coming up behind him. Now, if you know, a tractor's only moving at about 15 miles an hour. And he said in a split second, he thought, he's not going to stop. He can't stop. And sure enough, about that time, the semi plowed into the back of the tractor, launched the little boy out of the cab. It hit him so hard it knocked the front end off the tractor. I gotta take a breath. And as any father would, the only thing on his mind was, where's my little boy? I should have had Karen tell this. She did a better job the other night than I am. He was under the front end. Not the wheels, the engine. Seven people tried to pick the tractor up to get him out. And finally, they couldn't do it, so the paramedics got there with the jaws of life and they lifted the thing up and they got him out. He just had a few cracked ribs. Yeah, you can take a breath now. I tell you that to tell you, these people are tithers. Don't ever think for 1 minute that you're honoring God with 10% of your income is meaningless. Because I guarantee you that man would have given everything to have kept his boy. Now, that's not saying that all semi-truck drivers are bad. Okay? It could happen to anybody and anything. You could be in your car. You probably wouldn't have knocked the front end out of the tractor. You would have totaled your car. But I tell you that because of the fact of what God did. He rebuked the devourer. And he kept his hand on that little boy with an 11,000-pound tractor sitting on him.
Glory to God.
So, anyhow, I just, as I was praying there, the Lord told me to tell you that, story. I just heard it the other night, and as Karen was telling me, I'm thinking, dear God, I don't want to hear this. It can't be good. It can't be good. But you know what? It was awesome. It shows the faithfulness of our God. It doesn't matter. Life comes at you. You had better be believing that God's going to protect you and he's rebuking the devourer. I mean, I was just on the bike last night and was coming past the state park and kid saw me, and just about the time I got to him, he decided he wanted to start turning. For some reason, he stopped. So, don't ever think, oh, nothing will ever happen to me. You'll get a chance. It might be something simple. Anyhow, praise God. Well, we're going to continue on honor. Last week, we began on the civil side. These are our police officers, people that are placed in positions of authority by law. Okay, they carry a real position of authority. And they have a law, and usually a badge to go with it, that says, I have this authority to do this. Now, I want you to remember what the definition of honor is. It means to value, to treat as precious and weighty, to treat different, and to submit. Okay? It means you treat it differently. It's not just something normal. You know, last night I was, I didn't even know, but Angela and the boys were already home, and so I left here, and I thought, you know what? They're gone still, and I want an ice cream. So, and I knew she left her phone in the van. I thought, well, if they're still at her brother's, then I'm not going to get hold of her. And Joshua was swimming, so I said, well, I guess Daddy's just going to treat Daddy today. And so I went down and on my bike and pulled in over here to Grill and Chill and was getting an ice cream and was standing there. And, you know, I pulled in right behind a Mount Gilead patrol car and walked in. And, you know, Officer Mefta was down at the other end waiting for his order. And I ordered mine and it came out. And I walked around the corner and he just kind of looked at me. And last time we talked, he asked me where my helmet was because I was under restrictions at that point. But he didn't give me a ticket. So all I'm saying is I really don't care what your opinion of him is. He's got a job to do. If he had cited me, he'd have been totally within the rights. But walked around the corner and I said, how you doing, Officer Mefta? He just kind of said, Mark will be fine. That's his first name. And a lot of you know him. Some of you grew up with him. I didn't have a clue who he was, except his daddy gave me a scar, but he didn't have a choice in that either. And he gave you a scar too. And the reason it is back there. But anyhow, you know, he just laughed and he said, oh, he said, just Mark will do. And I said, that's fine. But I said, I'm trying to teach my children, my sons, to honor authority. And that took him aback just a little bit. He says, you know, that's great. Because you know what? How many people are teaching their children, well, that's a pig. That's the first thing a kid learns. I know a lot of them, that's the first thing they learned. That's the fuzz. No. He's a police officer. He has a job, he has a duty. He has something he is required to do. And I actually asked him one time, I said, okay, you tell me, where did the term pig come from? He said, I don't know. The only thing I know is we were taught pride, integrity, and guts. So you know what? You know, the term jarhead was not meant to be a term of affection for Marines. It was supposed to be a slam. You know, we're so hard-headed, we took it as a term of affection. We call each other jarhead. But we have the obligation, the responsibility to teach our children that as well. And, you know, and I know, you know, we're in various stages of our lives here. But again, you don't quit learning until you're dead. And then I got a feeling we're going to go on over to the other side and really do some learning. Last week I taught on that. And, you know, and even Peter, he taught, he said, you fear the king. You got to remember who his king was, Agrippa, the persecutor of the church. He chose rather, instead of blessing the church, to persecute the church. So it doesn't matter if you like the king, your Bible still says to honor the king. Because there is reward in when you honor. Now, I want you to open your Bibles this morning to 1 Timothy. My pen gave up. Chapter 6. We're going to be looking at social authority. Pastor, what do you mean social? There is a social authority. Believe it or not. You'll see exactly where I'm going. Verse 1. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. Okay, I'll tell you who a bondservant is. Is there anybody in here who's an employee? You're a bondservant. You want to know who your master is? Your boss. Bible says, count him of all worthy of all honor. Didn't say if you think he was worthy of, he or she is worthy of it. Count them worthy of all honor. And you know, I had had an experience when I got out of the Marine Corps. You know, I was in management, so to speak. And I was actually at the first level in which they dump everything on you. And so I started working for this moving truck company out in town, and they had another little business, and the guy's stepdaughter was actually the manager of the place. I had no problem with that. I had women outranked me in the Marine Corps. It wasn't no big deal. And you know, there was one time, and I don't know what it was, but he felt the need to tell me that, he said, now Artie, says, this isn't the Marine Corps. He says, you can't decide whether you're going to listen to a woman or not. Now, wait a minute. I thought, I have given your daughter all the respect that I can possibly give. I did not hire in here to wash her car. I didn't hire in here to do her servant work. My job when you hired me, which by the way, you lied about my wages. They were $8 an hour less than what they were supposed to have been. I'm telling you, that first job was my beginning of character building. But I should have walked out of here the day you handed me my check. I should have walked right out of here and thinking I should have walked right back over to the recruiter's office. At least I had a steady check there. You're lying to me. But anyhow, you know, like I said, just because I wasn't some dumb, goofy person, they thought that because I wouldn't do everything she said that I was showing her dishonor, which the truth of the matter, it wasn't. I cleaned the bathroom. I'm a mechanic, by the way. That's my job, to wrench, to fix trucks. I cleaned the bathrooms, swept the floors, mowed the grass, cleaned the windows, cleaned the trucks. And when I got bored there, I started cleaning other buildings that were on the property. And she thought I dishonored her because... Oh, and I did fill her vehicle with gas regularly. So, but somebody thought that I was showing dishonor because she was a woman. And I just want to tell you, I didn't. I showed her all the honor that I possibly could. Even though, in my opinion, she wasn't worthy of any of it. My wife knew her. She got to meet her. In my opinion, she wasn't worthy of that honor. But I still gave it. Because of a position that she had. That is one thing the Marine Corps did instill in me, is it doesn't matter whether I like that person wearing no chevrons, or that brass, I have to honor them. It's not my option. And, I had a captain, and, you know, as far as the Marine is concerned, he wasn't leaving us much to honor. But we still gave him honor as a captain. He was starting to pick up on it. He had what we called a laminated light duty chit. JD's smiling. That means you can't do anything. And when you're a Marine and you got one of those, you might as well get out. And he was on his way out, and that's why they stuck him with us. But he wasn't getting that respect. And I remember one time I had the unfortunate... calling to be ordered to go get a chaser card. which a chaser, if you don't know what that is, that's somebody that takes people to and from the brig. And you chase people sometimes. And I was escorting one of the guys from our shop. He had popped positive on a test for marijuana, and I was taking him to the brig. And we were escorting him, so we were under arms, which meant we had a belt on. I thought, ooh, that's going to do a lot. We're going to do take it off and whip him with it if he tries to run away. Give us, I'm pistol qualified here. I'll hit him. I'll make sure I kill him if he runs. And anyhow, so we're standing, each one of us, on side of the door. Now, when you're under arms and escorting a prisoner, you're not required to salute anybody. The general could walk in, and I don't have to salute him. Good morning, sir. Well, our captain walked into the battalion office. We said, good morning, sir. He says, you're supposed to salute when you're under arms. And then just walked off. Now, wait a minute, you don't pick a fight and walk off from it. And now I think I may have started to fail that honor, because I went and I found our Marine manual, and I said, would somebody take us into my captain and show him where it says that I do not have to salute him? As a matter of fact, I will be in more trouble for saluting him while being under arms. And so there are times that people will try to force you to honor them. Now, that still did not mean that I said, hey, you know, hey, Joe, come here. You know, I knew some people by their first names who were of good rank, but I still referred to them when we were out in public by their rank. As a matter of fact, my last commanding officer, I knew her in the Philippines, and she was overhead of the motor transport, the truck drivers. She was over top of the drivers, and I was in the maintenance department. And a lot of times we didn't get along. JD will probably attest to that. There was a lot of times we just butt heads. And she came to us, me and another Lance Corporal, and asked us if we would do something for her. We said, ma'am, no problem. We'll do it. We did it. And so from that point on, she told people, you go to them. Go tell them I asked. And so we began to we showed her that honor. And just so you know, she really was, as far as fit quality, she was not fit. Physically, she was just not fit. She was overweight, couldn't hang with the runs. And when you're a Marine, you run. And if you don't hang, it's not a good thing. And but we continued to show her that honor. Now let me show you what happened. Her unit, her platoon, found out it was her birthday. And they had cake and steaks. They went out and bought steaks and cake for her. They bought just enough for their unit. And Sean and I had gotten off late. We'd missed any opportunity to go get chow without paying for a taxi. And we were walking over. They were their Quonset hut was right next to ours. And we walked over there, and she saw us coming over, and she said, Lance Corporal Woodell and Evans, you guys come over here and have some cake and steak. Now, like I said, they had the exact amount. She had staff NCO that were under her who hadn't gotten anything that, and they just got there just a split second before us, and she said, oh, no, that's not your steak. That's theirs. Because we chose to honor her. See, she knew these guys were just offering lip service. But we honored her and did what she asked. She was my last commanding officer when I got out of the Marine Corps. And when I went in to get her signature so I could get out, you know, I rendered her the proper respect, but it was not as some of the other officers that I checked in or checked out with. It had become more like a friend. So, you know, it's... You never know just what might happen in the end. And it was always good to know that if anything did happen, I always had the CO on my side. You never know. That always comes in handy. Brass talks. So, 1 Timothy 6:1 tells us, for bondservants, that's employees, who are under the yoke to count their own masters worthy. You're to count them worthy whether you think they're worthy or not. You may not like them, but you got to do it because the Word says to do it. The Word, let me tell you what the Amplified says, so that the name of God and the teaching about God may not be brought into disrepute. The word disrepute means a state of being held in low esteem. That's by everybody else. See, right now, the Word of God is held in low esteem by the world. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because Christians, professing Christians, are some of the laziest people you'll ever meet. You'll meet them. I'm not saying anybody in here. Lord knows you come to a work day, I'm going to work you. I'll find things for you to do. Thank God we don't have any sand that needs raked into straight rows. But that's what happens. If we are not showing proper respect to our secular employers, what are they going to think about? You claim to be a Christian, JD, but yet you're always late. And I know he's not. Well, you don't show any respect to, you know, to the boss, and you claim to be a Christian. How can you be a Christian? Well, if that's what your Bible tells you, then I don't really care about your Bible. So then they don't want to know anything about the Word. They don't want to know anything about God, and come to find out, God is not about that. God looks down and says, oh yeah, you know, Richard, you're always here. You're here an hour early. You stay an hour late. You don't ask for overtime. You're willing to do this. You work through your breaks. You know, I don't know about you, but personally, that 10-minute break, why? It just breaks your stride. When I worked at Mettler Toledo, man, I'd be busting my butt, and all of a sudden, nah, I can't. I'm in the middle of a run. You don't stop running just because the whistle goes off. But guess what? State law requires us to give you this 10-minute break. It's going to take me 10 minutes to get out of this monkey suit. So there's a lot. I mean, I'd walk down the hall sticking to the floors. I was covered in paint. I mean, my boots, they had this much paint on them. We'd have to take jackhammers and chisels to take the paint off so we could walk. They were like diving boots. I mean, they just... And our pants, well, we had to walk like that because they were stiffening up as the paint dried. You take them off, literally, you could set them up. Bobby, he worked with me over there. I remember one time I took my shirt. It was the first time I was in the paint booth, and I wore that shirt all week because, you know, you don't want them all to get nasty. And you know, you couldn't hardly get the buttons out, so I'd put it in the uniform bin. Would you believe next week they sent me that shirt back? It had a quarter of an inch of paint on it. I took it out. It was like, kink, kink, kink. And finally, one of the other painters said, you've got to rip the buttons off. It's got to be unserviceable or they will not replace it. I was like, gotcha. So, boy, next week, I'm like, and threw that thing in there. And you know what? I had a brand new shirt hanging in there waiting for me. But you see, if Richard shows that kind of respect to his boss, and he's always courteous, yes, sir, you know, no, sir, yeah, you know what I mean, you may be on a first-name basis. You may have grew up with the guy, maybe best friends, but if you're constantly showing him that respect, he can put you in. For, you know what? I think Richard needs a $2 an hour raise. He works twice as hard as anybody else. Richard's like, woohoo! But see, it didn't cost Richard anything else to show the respect. You know, honestly, you have to work harder at being lazy. You have to work harder at showing disrespect. You really do. Angela and Joshua were telling me about, I guess there was some excitement in Johnsville yesterday. And, you know, two young boys were stealing some farmer's equipment and taking it down to scrap it. Well, the farmer decided to camp out, and he watched them, called the cops, and they met him down at the junkyard, impounded their truck. Two 17-year-old boys working harder. By the way, I just want to let you know, scrap is worthless. I took nearly a ton in and got like $20. It took me longer to load that truck. I was like, forget it. I'll put it out on the curb and let these scrappers who are paying $3 a gallon to drive around in their beat up old trucks. They're working harder. Just go get a job. But anyhow, but you have to work harder at being lazy, and you have to work harder at showing disrespect. Because when you're trying to show disrespect, you're constantly thinking, how can I get over on them? How can I tick them off? What can I do? Now, I'll tell you, I worked in a union shop, and I know there's some in here who do, and I praise God that you're born again and spirit-filled, but I know what my union brothers were thinking. How can I mess with Mickey? Mickey was a good guy. He was my supervisor. His name was Mickey Thompson. Don't go to Florida, Mickey. Those of you who are hot rodders know what I'm talking about. There was a hot rodder named Mickey Thompson, and he was gunned down in front of his own house back in the 80s. But Mickey was a good guy. He always treated me right, you know, and I treated Mickey with respect. I mean, I've only been out of the Marine Corps a couple of years at that point, and, you know. But these other guys that sit around, they'd tell him to go blank off or, you know, hey, don't talk to me, I'm on my break time. Dude, you ain't done anything all morning. What do you need a break from? But you see, all those guys showed that much disrespect, and guess what? We went bankrupt. That company went bankrupt. And they were government subsidized. How does something that's got, you know, evidently they think it's an endless pocket or really deep pocket, how does it go bankrupt when you got 2,000 buses on back order at minimum of $250,000 apiece? There was so much disrespect floating around that place. The supervisors didn't even respect each other. They respected Don Fulmer, I'll tell you that right now. He was the main guy. You respected that man. He was the one that hired me in, and I showed him the proper respect sitting there. You know, why I got that job is beyond me. I couldn't paint a lick. He said, what's your painting experience? I said, well, I did some priming at a body shop in North Carolina, which I did. You know, my total priming might have been the total square footage of this pulpit. He's looking down through there, looking at my resume, and he gets to your, where have you been in the military? And I obviously circled yes. He looked at me and he says, well, dang, he said, you're a Marine, you'll figure it out, you're hired. Like, wow. That went pretty easy. Go down and take a spray test. They lay out some parts on the thing, and I go, shh, shh. Okay. But showing that man the respect earned me more. And I'm going to tell you right now, by showing those other supervisors, even though they were company men, showing them respect, showing our QC respect, made a lot of waves. Because I talked to the man, the actual personnel guy one time. He said, and my brother-in-law, Bob, worked there. And he said, I want to tell you what. He said, you and Bobby work so hard. He said, the people on the floor are talking about you. He said, I'm hearing good things about you too. He said, they are telling me what a good job I did by hiring the two of you. Now, let me tell you what else showing respect got for me. I'm the low man on the totem pole, okay? I'm the peon. Everybody knows what's going to happen. I'm going to third shift. I'm trained on for 6 or 7 weeks on first shift, and now I'm going to go to third shift. And They said, all right, Art, you're going to third shift tomorrow night. Okay. I went to third shift. Came off. I'm on my way out. I clocked out, and I passed Mickey in the, on the way out, and he looked at me. He says, Art. I said, come here. Pulls me over side. He said, what do you think about coming back to first? I'm like, are you kidding me? I've already got second shift guys telling me they were gonna that they're moving down, that I'm taking one of their places. He says, no. He said, do you want to come back to first? I said, well, heck yeah. I said, can I have a day between to allow for the transition here? You know, I've been up all night. I like never went to sleep before. He said, yeah. Nobody said a word. I'm in a steelworkers union, okay? Nobody said a word about the lowest man on the totem pole taking a first shift position when there are guys that's got 15, 20 years on second shift. I later found out it was because I worked really well, and I showed the buyers respect. See, the buyer, if he doesn't sign off on it, they didn't get any money. The second he signed his signature on that paper, the rest of the money was deposited, and it was usually a big hunk of change. And I found out that one of the buyers and one of the QC personnel, they took a liking to me, and the buyer said, if he's not working on the buses, I'm going to tell you right now, you won't be selling any anytime soon. And he was the buyer for Columbus, Cleveland, and several other large cities that we did business with. So what ultimately happened was showing that man respect, and all the other guys, you know, you get cynical is what happens. They were so cynical, they'd tease him, make light of him. He was an older gentleman. His name was Bob Evans. When you got a name of Bob Evans, what else you... You know, I'm sure he'd heard all the jokes. But by showing him respect, see, he held more power than the union did. So much so that, see, they could have went on strike because of this. This was a, you know, Jason will tell you, they could have really caused some problems. Nobody said a thing. Nobody said a thing when I took a break. But you'd stand over there and you'd see the guys, you know, we weren't allowed to smoke in the paint department for obvious reasons. Nobody wanted to be blown up. But, you know, if they saw people standing over there too long, they'd go over and yell at them. But because they knew that if I was standing still, I really didn't have anything to do. I mean, I would grab a broom and then come along, somebody would come along and say, no, you can't do that. That's what they let me do. But because I showed the proper respect and I worked when I had it, I even volunteered for jobs that they hated. So you don't want the Word of God to be held in disrepute because, well, you know, look at this guy. He claims to be a Christian. He's the laziest turkey in this place. You know, I'm paying him, and I was making really good money, but I'll use this number. I'm paying him $10 an hour to do this job. And so-and-so over here, who's a kid, doesn't know what he's doing, is outworking him. And this guy claims to be a Christian. I think I'll give his wages to him and fire him. So when you're showing your boss's honor, and that also means work. When you're there to work, work. You know, there is a time when I hired guys to work with me, I said, listen, I'll tell you right now, I know it's mandated by law to give you a 10-minute break. I'm not stopping and giving a 10-minute break. If you need a break, take a break. You know, because we'd be doing roofs or whatever. I said, on the roofs, we're probably going to take a 20-minute break about every hour if it's really hot. Like, I've been up there. Yeah, I know Keith's like, that don't happen. Well, I was the boss. And I'm like, the boss is taking a break. I said, you take a break when I take a break. I'd get a drink of water. I said, all right, let's go. You know, I'd crack the whip and we'd go. Which, by the way, I got a whip the other day. I got it because of Pat one time. Pat's like, yeah, he's a slave driver cracking that whip all the time. So now I got a whip. Anyhow. Now, the word blasphemed, it means to treat God or sacred things disrespectfully. When you're not showing honor to your employer, your boss, your supervisor, you're causing the word of God to be blasphemed, to be treated disrespectfully. In other words, you're the one doing it. You're the one treating the word of God disrespectfully, because in the word of your God, it says to treat your boss with respect and honor. Now let's turn over to Titus. It's just the next page or next couple books over there. Titus chapter 2. See, I'm hoping you're seeing the pattern here in this honor thing of how God rewards you for honoring people. Like I said, the unfortunate thing is in the body of Christ, we forget we're a kingdom. We're not a democracy or a republic. We are a kingdom. We operate off of kingdom principles. And in the day of a king, you didn't talk about the king. Because the king had men around and the king would have you decapitated. Or at least whipped. And if anybody needs that, I'll volunteer to practice. We were at the wedding yesterday at the best man, which was the groom's brother. He was laying up here, just kind of chilling out during the pictures, and he wasn't smiling during the pictures. And his mom's like, "You gotta smile." I said, I heard that, and I said, "I can make him smile." So I had a detective friend in North Carolina teach me how to use a rubber hose. He's like, I'm smiling. Okay, are you in Titus yet? Titus, chapter 2, verse 9. Paul's telling Titus, he says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters. Listen to your own boss. To be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. It's not talking about answering. It's not talking back. Now, I know that's a hard one, because from about the age of 12 up, that becomes a natural instinct to talk. Actually, I think it's probably about age 8 and up. It becomes a natural instinct to talk back to authority. Yeah, sometimes that's what you got to use. And in some cases in shops, that is what has happened. And the unfortunate side is the bond servant's the one who's going to go to jail. Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, pilfering, stealing. Not stealing from your boss. A lot of times your boss will give you things if you ask them. I know when I was in the Marine Corps, and they used to write us, but it was never anything we were ever actually going to prosecute or actually search out. But, you know, we used to have a little saying, a good Marine always has an ink stick, an ink pen. And we carried it right here and inside our blouse in a little flap. And there was only one issue with that. Marines don't buy their own ink pens. They get them in the office or wherever they're picking them up at. They all say property of U.S. government on them. So we take them home. No, I don't need this one. And I think I got out, I probably had 50. I think I still got a couple just for nostalgic reasons. Like, wow, yeah. I said, I've had that pen for 20 years now. But, you know, there are actually people who make it a habit of stealing. Stealing out of the cash register. You know, well, nowadays, you know, if it depends on the company you work for, that's not going to be real feasible. They have checks and balances. Hey, the balances are out of balance here. You went in a hole today. But showing all good fidelity means faithfulness, that they may adorn. This is the word that I got underlined in my Bible. The doctrine of God our Savior in all things. How you're treating your employer adorns. How many of you adorn your Christmas tree? Y'all do if you got one. That's what it means. It means to hang the trimmings. Earrings, makeup, jewelry. What you do emphasizes something. Trimming your beard, cutting your hair. Every little thing you do adorns something. You know, the fence we put up out back, out front here, it adorns our lot. We painted walls, they adorn the walls. We hung trim, it adorns the doors. It makes the doors stand out. It makes them, wow, that looks really nice. Whereas if you'd have seen them the first Sunday we had, there was no trim there. You could still see the screws, you could see the shims, and all that, and you could see through the doors, through the sides of the doors. But we put the trim up and said, wow, that finishes it out. That's what happens when you, as an employee, are honoring your boss and showing respect, showing your company respect, and, you know, not stealing from them. Actually, you're stealing from yourself at that point. People, if they'd realize that, you're just stealing from yourself. You're stealing the profits, and, you know, they aren't going to give you a pay raise if they don't make a profit. And, you know, so you've got all that stuff going on. But, you know, I thought that was just something really neat. The Bible says that when we exhort, when we show honor to our bosses, that we're adorning the doctrine of God. We're adorning the Word of God, the teachings of God. We make it look even more better. I don't know, I thought it was pretty good before, but do you know what happens? We start making it a little shinier, a little more attractive to people. You know, because, you know, be honest with you, you know what people think Christians are? You can't have fun. You're stiff. You're lame. You're lazy. You don't know how to do anything. That's not the case at all. But that's what has come out of it because, you know, of what people have done in the past. One of the examples that John Bevere used in his book is, he was sitting next to a man on a plane, and, you know, they sat down, and, you know, they just started having a conversation. Yeah, he said, man, we were going along good. He told me what he did. He's got a business. He was a businessman. Business was good, and he was doing all this and doing all that. And he says, by the way, what do you do? Well, John said, I'm a preacher. He said, that shut the conversation off right there. He said, the guy went cold, even looked away. Uh-oh. What happened here? And he said, you know, he said he tried to start it up again. The guy would just give one line or one word answers. And he said, you know, I said, I can't help but notice. He says, so I'm going to ask. He said, ever since I told you that I was a Christian and a preacher, he said, you've gone cold. Why? He says, it's nothing against you personally. I have nothing against you. You seem to be a nice enough fellow. But, he said, I had an employee. She claimed to be a Christian. And I later found out that instead of doing her job, she was spending time proselytizing on my time, costing me thousands of dollars. Instead of doing the job I was paying her for, she was trying to witness. Can I remind you what the word says in Acts? It said, and you shall be witnesses. It doesn't say that you will go out and witness. It says you will be a witness. You want to know how? your life will adorn the Word of God, and it will attract those fish just like that little silver spinner does on them crankbaits. They're like, oh, something shiny. And then they go right after the bait. But when we are spending time, our employers see this. Listen, if you're supposed to be doing a job, do your job. That doesn't mean that you can't tell somebody, hey, you know, God loves you. But if you're supposed to be doing that job, you do that job. You focus in on that job. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I know some different people in here, some of your jobs, somebody's life might be at stake. You might make a mistake and cause something bad to happen. You know, Keith, you know, you're a roofer. You don't put that roof down just right. You don't put that sheeting down just right. And there's a weak spot. Something bad could happen. The guy walking behind you carrying the two bundles, well, he'd have to be a big guy. Carrying them shingles on his shoulders might get over there and go through that roof. And with that much weight, you ain't going to stop until you hit the floor and somewhere. But you see, because of this woman's thinking, I'm spreading the gospel, I'm expanding the kingdom of Christ, she didn't realize that her life is the witness. I really don't want people to tell me they're a Christian. I want to see it. I've had people tell me a Christian and then crack open a bud. Excuse me? How about we get back in the Word, people? The Word says, don't be drunk. Don't do this. Don't do that. I've had people tell, oh, I'm a Christian. And then they're, wow, did you see the pecs on that guy? Excuse me, honey, what about the pecs on your husband? You don't need to be lusting after him. Yes, I'm sorry your husband's pecs fell into his belt. I'm coming to find out that's a natural thing in life. And we'll just stop there. But you see, if we're honoring our boss, we're going to be doing the job he paid us. We're going to do that. We're going to get it done. You know, Joshua this last week, he got to do something for the first time. He got to wrap around bales. You know, Grandpa showed him how to get out there and wrap those bales. And, you know, and he said, I'm going to pay you so much per bale. Now, I'm going to put it this way. You want to get somebody to work? Pay them per item and watch how fast they'll move. Because if they do the math, see, when I used to hike trucks for Penske, and I hated going with a crew of people because they always get these retirees. We want to stop for a steak. Listen, dude, even if I drive 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, we're only making $7 an hour. So we have got to boogie. And we ain't making enough on this one for you to stop and get a steak. Now, I did have one guy, his name was Bob. I can't remember his last name. He was a New Jersey policeman. He had prostate cancer, and I think he ended up passed through his bladder and everything, but he had a colostomy bag. He was one of my favorite people to hike with. That man could go and go and go. He wasn't stopping, flashing the headlights every 20 miles. I gotta pee. He'd just hang the bag out the window, dump it. Oh, come on, what do you think all those bottles on the side of the road, ain't apple juice in them? We had to teach Jesse that when we were picking up trash for the Trash for Bash for 4-H. We was actually on Sandy's Road. We're picking up this trash. Jesse's like, Dad, what is this? I said, don't open that. Do not open that. Why? I said, that's pee. You don't want to open. Oh, as a matter of fact, put that back. I'm not taking a chance that bag, that thing busts while we're carrying it. Okay, get back on the message, Art. But you see, that caused Joshua to work harder and faithfuler. I even called him up. I had a question for him. I called him up. He says, okay, Dad, I got to get back to work. Wow, praise God. I was, you know, proud of him. You know, and then I looked, it's like, he did 120 bales that day. That's in and out of the tractor. So, good job. And Josh was back here. So, you know, if your boss is hiring you to do something, if you're getting paid by the hour, give him or her a good day. Work hard. And you know what I've always found out? It helps the day pass faster. I periodically I'll stop in a store or something, and I'll ask somebody for something, or you know, say, hey, you know, well, yeah, or they're stocking shelves, and you know, and I'll ask them for something. They say, oh yeah, let me help you. And I said, I'm sorry to waste, you know, to bother you right now. Oh no. And I said, well, I said, I actually understand. I said, it helps pass the time when you're constantly busy. Whereas if you're not doing anything, it just, yeah, the day drags on. There were even times when I didn't have any trucks to work on down there. I'd say, can I go home? I mean, I've already mowed the grass, cleaned the windows, cleaned the bathroom, you know, cleaned the fence row out. All I can do is go back there and snoop in that old burned out house behind us. And I really don't want to go back there again. You know what they'd say? No. You got to stay here. I'm like, you're killing me. I'm actually offering not to charge you. I got to sit here for 4 more hours. And it's too hot to stay out here, but the cigarette smoke in here is about to kill me. I'd go find things to do. I folded blankets. I bet I folded 500 moving blankets. All they ever did before is they just throw them in there in a big pile. I walk in and there's a pile in there as big as my garage. Started folding them things. By the time I left there, they were organized in stacks of 5 with a piece of cardboard between them. Didn't take long for it to get messed up, though. I'll just tell you that right now. They never did find anybody as good as me. Chapter 3 of Titus. Verse 1 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Now he's still exhorting Titus on teaching the body of Christ. Again, civil or social authority is what he's talking about again. Your bosses. Your supervisors, managers, whoever. You know, if the president of your company showed up, you're going to be on your best behavior, aren't you? You darn skipping you are. Anytime, I think the owners of Cosmo, when I worked down here, I think they came through once. Man, we stopped, we swept the floors, we made that place look nice, and everybody was on the ball. You know, we were, you know, we had things going. You know, we were usually, you know, we worked as long as, you know, we had stuff to do, we did it. And if we didn't, grab a broom, sweep the floor or whatever. But, you know, you're better. You seem to treat the boss a little different when he owns the company. The truth of the matter is, you know, the supervisor, he's the one that decides whether you're getting a pay raise or not. So I sucked up to my supervisor. It was Bobby. And you know what? We didn't even let people know that. We went in, the plant manager was the only one that knew I was related. Because we didn't want anybody to come in and say, well, you know, you got the job just because your brother-in-law is going to be the boss, and you'll get preferential treatment. I think I was there 3 months before anybody knew that he was my brother-in-law. And by then, I'd already proven that I didn't get the job just because he was my brother-in-law. All All right, turn to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. I'm wrapping up. I know you're hungry. I can hear your bellies growling. Oh, wait a minute, that's mine. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. This evidently was an issue back then. This is a whole different group of people Paul's writing to. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. In other words, when you're treating your boss with that kind of honor and respect, you're doing that to Christ. That's a service to Christ. That might help change your mind on how you treat your boss. Every time you look at him, if you look at your supervisor, I don't care how big of a jerk they are, because by the way, I'm sure Peter would have thought Jesus was a jerk a couple times. Wouldn't you? Yeah, he called him Satan. Come on, you don't get any dirtier than Jesus' vocabulary. Actually, you don't get any dirtier than any man's vocabulary. That's as low as you can go. He called religious people the spawn of Satan. But when you look at your employer, your boss, your supervisor, whoever it is, if you see Christ, because how many of you would bust your butts if Jesus were standing right here? You would be on your best behavior. You'd be amening louder than anybody in the church. You would be giving as more than anybody in the church. Come on, I'm just... Wouldn't you? You'd make sure that if you knew Jesus was going to be here next week, that your whole family was here. If you knew Jesus was going to be on your job tomorrow, you'd make sure that your clothes were clean, your breath was fresh, you weren't sleepy, you weren't dragging in 5 minutes late. Huh? And your brain, yeah, you brought your brain with you. Because it's Monday, remember to do that. By the way, I'm going to back up again here and just give you an example of honoring your supervisor, your boss. I had several jobs there for a short period of time. And one of them, I worked at Mettler Toledo. We painted, we made truck scales in that department that I worked in. And I lived up here in Chesterville. Well, they're down there in Westerville. And a couple times, if you didn't hit the road just right, man, you were going to be late. And it was a 45-minute drive, and I usually set the cruise at 70 and hit the road. And, because of my work ethic and that I was faithful, that I worked and I stayed and I worked through my breaks, I came in late, I know, twice. There was nothing I could do about it because they were doing some construction and I got caught in it. And I usually left with enough time to allow for stuff like that, but this particular day, it just never made it. I clocked in 3 minutes late. I went and told my supervisor. I said, I understand if you have to dock me. He looked at me and already says, get out of here. If you think I'm going to dock you, you're nuts. By the way, just before I left, he gave me the biggest pay raise of anybody in the factory. And then when I went and told him that I was leaving, he said, what do I need to do to get you to stay? How much will it take? I went from being his worst painter to his best painter. How much will it take? I like it. It's almost tempting, but I said, what I want, you can't give me. I want first shift. I want off of this midnight stuff. 4-10s were great, but I was dead the whole next day. He's like, yeah, so what? I get out of bed at noon because I get home at 3:30, 3:30, 4 o'clock. Don't get out of bed till about noon. I got to be back in at work at 4:30. Like, this is just getting old. So I did that for 9 months and went somewhere else that developed my character even greater. All right, where was I at? Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, in other words, lip service as well.
Oh, you're so great. Man, can you believe that, Richard? He's the biggest jerk I've ever worked for. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about not just trying to be a man pleaser. We call them brown nosers. I'm sure that's what they're still called. Butt kissers, a few other things. But as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, pretend you're working for Jesus. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Now, in John's book, he showed some definitions here between a slave and a servant. A slave does the bare minimums. A slave has to be driven. A slave has to be told what to do. A servant does the maximum potential because they understand that they're serving. A servant doesn't have to be told to do something. The servant's already got it done. I personally would rather be a servant. I don't have to be told to pick up my work area. I don't have to be told to put my tools away. I don't have to be told to sweep the floor, to clean up the oil. I don't have to be told that. I automatically did that. And then went beyond that. And why I always ended up cleaning bathrooms everywhere I went. Maybe it's because nobody else did. And I'm like, listen, I'm using it, I'm cleaning it. Fortunately, they had two, and nobody ever went to the other one, so I cleaned that one. I let everybody else use that front one. You don't want to clean it? Don't go to mine. Yours, by the way, has the heater. Mine doesn't. So here in Ephesians, we see where Paul says that if we do this, we will receive the same from the Lord. We will receive honor from God. God Himself will honor us. I personally would rather have God honor me. Okay? You know, a couple weeks ago, you know, the body here, you honored me for my birthday. And that was great. It's fabulous. And it is a true honor. But just think of how much more God's got. Think about that. You know, we honored the fathers today. Let God honor you. That's just a token. Man, what God does and establishes is forever. He doesn't do temporary things. He establishes them forever. He establishes covenants. And you don't want to get on the whole curse side, because it goes on and on and on and on. I want to read something here real quick. In Proverbs 3:3-4, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." Now the Bible says of the child Jesus that he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. Now I'm going to have to, I probably don't have to remind you, but he was the son of a carpenter. You know what carpenters do? Well, they build. Guess what they do with their sons? Well, this is a real easy question since I got this. Bob, what did you do with your sons being a farmer? Taught them to farm. Taught them to work hard. Carpenters did the same thing. The people got to see Jesus as a child grow into a young man, and he grew in favor because of how he worked, because of how he treated his dad. We'll call him dad. Because of how he treated Joseph. He grew in favor and in honor. And God honored him. By the way, it only took 3 years for Jesus to fall out of favor with man, but to rise to full glory with God. He knew who could honor him better. Yeah, they would honor him, but a lot of them was lip service. Remember when, he sent out 70 disciples. And then he told him, he said, but you must drink my blood and eat my flesh. He ends up with 12. I guess they were just brown nosers. They were wanting to get in on the first level of the next greatest thing. And if you're in a situation where things aren't getting done, let me give you a little help here. Step up to the bat. Do what has to be done. Get the job done and let God honor you. God will cause it to come to pass. If you do that, God will cause it to pass. Your boss will see it. Go the extra mile. Jesus already told us that. If a friend asks you to go a mile with him, go two. Go the extra mile. God will honor you if you honor those you've been commanded to. You've seen several places in the Bible where we're told to honor our masters, our social authority. If we make that a lifestyle, you don't have to worry about going out and handing somebody a track and saying, Jesus loves you. Because they're going to come up and say, Keith, I've noticed how you work. You don't cuss when you hit your thumb. And I notice you take a moment to pray before you eat. I notice that. Can I ask you some questions? And as soon as they say that, they open the door. And yeah, they're in trouble now. Keith's like, man, I've been packing heat. I've been waiting for this moment. But you see, you won't have to worry about that. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit's going to give you that power and you will be a witness. It's going to happen. It's going to be the thing that's going to set you over the top. People are going to say, I noticed a change in you. I noticed a real change. If people don't see a change in you, reevaluate your salvation. Go back and make it real this time. Because if they say, oh yeah, JD, man, I remember. You ain't changed a bit. You still act like you used to. JD's like, oh man, I got to start all over. But if they come and say, hey, JD, come on, let's go out and get a couple beers. I don't do that no more. What? What'd you do? Go and get religion? If that's what you want to call it, I got a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what? I found out I can have just as much fun sober and remember it in the morning. And usually not wind up with a black eye or anything else. Or knocked out, whatever. Might be your case. Anyhow. So let's stand. Do you know, you obviously noticed the change in the seating. See, everybody likes an end seat. So we gave you more end seats. We had to do it for a wedding, too. It's like, okay, the bride wants to walk. Well, we got another bride this week. Like, they want to walk up the center aisle. We got chairs there. So we're going to probably leave them like this for a little while. Change is always good. Stirs things up. If you eat at McDonald's all the time, first off, you're going to get really fat. Sorry, just what's going to happen. Your arteries, you can feel your arteries clogging up as you eat that Big Mac. But if you do it all the time, it's not going to taste very good, is it? Even Arby's, I kind of agree with you there. Even Arby's, I love Arby's. Man, I could eat them big old, and I get the giants. I don't mess around with them little tiny dudes. I get them big old giant roast beefs. And I'm priming myself here because my belly is starting to really rumble. But even if you eat Arby's all the time, it's not going to be special anymore. If you had chocolate ice cream every day, it's not going to be special. Hey, come in, I got my seat right here. It's not going to be special to you anymore. And this way, there's no big bald spot in the middle. There was. I don't know if you saw it. I can see it from up here. Praise team can see it. There's a big section nobody wanted to sit in. Like, man, if I got to go pee, I got to climb over 10 people to get out. I know it is. That's why I always go for an end seat. If I got to go to the bathroom, I don't want to have to climb over him, and her. I might not make it all the way. God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for this beautiful day. Father, I thank you for each and every father in here. Lord, I pray that you continue to grace them with your mercy and your love. Father, I pray that you help us take this word on honoring our masters, Lord God, our employers, our managers, our supervisors. Lord God, I pray that you help each and every one of us to operate in those realms. Father, to show honor to all men according to what you told Peter to preach. Lord God, we thank you, Father, that your word also says in there that we have a reward, that we will be rewarded for it, Lord God. So, Father, I thank you that you also showed us that by us working hard, by us being faithful in our work, by us honoring our bosses, Lord God, that it adorns your word, that it brings more attention to you, and that we draw men by lifting up Jesus. Now, Father, I pray that you bless your people. Bless them going in. Bless them going out. Cause them to prosper this week, Lord God. Everything they set their hands to do that is according to your will, and it is not sin. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.